Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Well, happy 4th of July once again. I hope you all had a great Independence Day celebration. I know we did. We just grilled some burgers, swam in the pool, had a beautiful day with the family. Now, I got to just give you a little disclosure up front. This past week, over 4th of July week, the whole office has been on sabbatical. So I have not been in the office since last Sunday. So I just kind of breezed into the office this morning, you know, to be here for worship. And then tomorrow, I begin my 2 weeks of vacation. I'm driving to Denver tomorrow with my wife, and we're just going to have a great time. So if I seem a little more distracted than usual, just forgive me right now. All right, because I'm already kind of checked out. No, it's good. But it is actually really, really good to be here in worship because I love this series that we're in. As I said at the beginning of worship, we're in this series called Climbing Trees, where based on how Zacchaeus climbed a tree to get a new perspective. And so today we're looking at the Good Samaritan story, which is familiar, I'm sure, to most of you, because we hear the term all over the place. When you think of Good Samaritan, what comes to your mind? Probably some kind of warm and fuzzy feeling, right? We have Good Samaritan societies all over the world, and these are kind-hearted people doing good things. It makes us feel really good. Even just this week, my wife and I found a brand new movie on Netflix called Good Sam, and it's about somebody who is anonymously dropping off money to help people in need. So, Good Samaritan, right? It's a good feeling. Well, as we climb the tree today, we might discover that Jesus had a slightly different feeling in mind when he told this story. And to get us into it, I want to play a little game that I call Famous Trios. I want to say two things, and you say the third thing that comes to your mind, all right? Since it's 4th of July weekend, we're going to start patriotic, right? Life, liberty, and good American citizens. Excellent. Now we're going to go comedic. Larry, Moe, and very good, excellent, good. Now we're going to go nursery rhyme. The butcher, the baker, the excellent. You guys are good at this. All right, now we're going to go virtuous. Faith, hope, and oh, it's a divided crowd. We've got the charity people and the love people. They both mean the same thing, okay? Very good. Now we're going to go theological. Father, Son, and very good, okay. Now we're going to go Jewish patriarchal. See how you do on this one, okay? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not as many, not as enthusiastic, but some of you got that one. Now we're going to go first century Palestinian Jew. All right? A priest, a Levite, and oh, see, you went 20th century Christian on me. If you were a first century Jew, you would have answered this, a priest, a Levite, and an Israelite. See, we, as humans, we tend to have this grouping of threes, right? Ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. And so when Jesus tells a story in first century Israel as a Jewish teacher to a Jewish listener, and he says, a priest, a Levite, you automatically go to an Israelite. Keep that in mind. So let's get to the story itself. If you have your Bible, it is also printed in your bulletin. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus has just come out of having the sending out the 72 into the cities and all of that, and they come back, and he has this encounter with a lawyer. Now, a lawyer, it says in verse 25, just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. You have to keep in mind that this guy was not a student of Jesus. He was not a lover of Jesus. He stood up. He didn't stand up and say, Jesus, teach me. He stood up to test Jesus. So this is, from the beginning, an antagonistic conversation. And you'll find that all throughout the Gospels, when somebody calls Jesus teacher, they're his enemy. The people who actually followed him usually called him Lord or Master. So when this lawyer comes up to Jesus, it's more like, so, teacher, tell me something. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Remember, a lawyer in those days was not like lawyers today. A lawyer in those days was a student of the law of Moses, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, that Moses gave this law to the Jewish people on how to live their lives. And so Jesus knew that this man, more than any other person in the country, would know what the law says. So Jesus, in good Jesus fashion, doesn't answer the question. He says, let me answer you that by asking you this. What does the law say? And so the lawyer, knowing his law very well, he says, well, the law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's what's interesting. You could not look up that verse in those words in the Bible, because what the lawyer is doing is summarizing all of the law with two passages. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is what Jews even today call the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, right? Love God. And then he goes to Leviticus chapter 19. Didn't you have your last quiet time in Leviticus? Because that's like a really, really popular book. Leviticus chapter 19, right in the middle of a whole list of laws, it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because it summarizes everything that Moses taught the people. See, you understand, Moses taught the people to love their neighbor, even if their neighbor was a foreigner who lived among them. This lawyer knew what was right. So the lawyer, Jesus says to the lawyer, do this and you'll live, because like this is how it's supposed to be. But the lawyer, in order, it says, wanting to justify himself, meaning he hasn't been too loving probably in his life. He says to Jesus, I hope there's no lawyers in here. If you are, you're probably a good lawyer. But he says in good lawyer fashion, define neighbor, right? Who is my neighbor? So Jesus, in good Jesus fashion, tells him a story. Now remember, these parables that Jesus taught are not true stories. They are hypothetical scenarios. And they're simple. They're designed to be just everyday occurrences in life. But they are designed not to give us clear answers. Jesus never gives clear answers. It's perplexing. Parables are designed to help us lean into better questions. And so Jesus tells this parable. He says there's a man who was walking on the road to Jericho, and he gets mugged and left for dead. Now, everybody in that day knew that there's an 18-mile stretch on the way to Jericho, which is way on the east side of Israel, that you get mugged there. Like, don't walk there alone, because this is where the robbers hang out. And so the lawyer's like, okay, yeah, a guy gets mugged on that stretch of road. Got it. And Jesus says, first, a priest comes along and passes on the other side. And then second, a Levite comes along and passes on the other side. Now, a priest and a Levite. For 2,000 years, Christians have been trying to interpret this parable. And there's all kinds of different ways that we've interpreted it as an allegory and all of these things. And some have said that, oh, the priest and the Levite, they were going to go to the temple, so they, if they touch a dead body, they would be unclean. Well, first of all, they weren't headed to the temple. They were headed to Jericho. And secondly, just because it's a priest and a Levite doesn't mean they actually worked at the temple. Here's something you need to know about these people. Priests and Levites in Israel, those weren't jobs that you chose. They were jobs you were born into. There was a whole tribe of priests and Levites. Remember back in the day of Joshua where they divided up the land, the priests and Levites were the only ones who didn't get land. Which is why when you say a priest, a Levite to fill out the package. What's the third thing that you're expecting to hear? An Israelite. That represents the whole nation. So when Jesus says this priest and this Levite walk on the other side of the road, here's what Jesus meant. They did the wrong thing. There's just like no explanation for it other than they knew what they were supposed to do and they didn't do it because the law said, help this guy. So if you're the lawyer, what do you expect Jesus to say? A lawyer shows up, an Israelite shows up, and saves the day, right? Right? And Jesus said, but then along comes a Samaritan. Are you kidding me? This is where the story is lost on us in the 21st century, Eagan, Minnesota. To say a Samaritan to a teacher of the law was to say the worst possible thing you could think of. You see, the Samaritan, Samaria was a region just north of Judea and just south of Galilee. And this region of Samaria had centuries of history of being the enemy. It goes all the way back to when King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, messed things up and Jeroboam revolted and there was a civil war. It's kind of like the Yankees and the Confederates in our own civil war and how much they hated each other. The Jews and the Samaritans hate each other. They both think, here's the thing, they both think that they are the one true worshipers of God and followers of the laws of Moses. The Jews thought that the Samaritans were heretics, that they were half-breeds, that they were mongrels and dogs and deserved to die. But the Samaritans felt exactly the same way about the Jews. And so for a good Samaritan to exist, that's impossible. So a Samaritan shows up, and when he sees this man on the side of the road, he is moved in his bowels. That's the literal translation of compassion. It's the same feeling that Jesus has when he finds people who are suffering and in need. And not only does this Samaritan have compassion on this man, he takes action. He doesn't just say, oh, that's so sad, be warm and well fed. He picks him up. He puts him on his vehicle, his donkey. He takes him to the inn. He pays for it. This is not some poor outcast man. This is a Samaritan who has money and means and wealth, and he helps a Jew. And so Jesus says to the lawyer, who was a neighbor the way Moses taught us to be? And the man, probably the hardest words that comes out of this man's mouth, this guy. So Jesus says, to love God, to love neighbor, it's the same thing. So now go and do likewise. We've been looking at these parables because Pastor Lamont actually turned us on to a book by Amy Jill Levine called Short Stories by Jesus. And I want to read to you something that she says in the conclusion of her chapter on the Good Samaritan. She says, the parable in today's world, for a final sense of the profundity of this parable, we need only look from ancient texts to present context. See, the parable of the Good Samaritan is one of the few parables in the Bible that has a direct relation to today. Because she says, Samaria today has various names. You may have heard it as the West Bank, occupied Palestine, greater Israel. To hear the parable today, we only need to update the identity of the figures. I am an Israeli Jew on my way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and I am attacked by thieves, beaten, stripped, robbed, and left half dead in a ditch. Two people who should have stopped to help pass me by. The first, a Jewish medic from the Israeli Defense Forces. The second, a member of the Israeli-Palestine Mission Network of the Presbyterian Church USA. But the person who takes compassion on me and shows me mercy is a Palestinian Muslim whose sympathies lies with Hamas, a political party whose charter not only anticipates Israel's destruction, but also depicts Jews as subhuman demons responsible for all the world's problems. That's today. And she says, the parable of the good Hamas member might be difficult for people in support of Israel's existence. But she said, if Jesus was a Samaritan when he lived, he would have told the parable of the good Jew. It goes both ways. If people in the Middle East could picture this, we might have a better vision for choosing life. And then she concludes with these reminding us at the heart of Jesus' teaching. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's kind of where the lawyer had come to in his mind. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That is Jesus' teaching. That's why the Apostle Paul said, and God loved us even while we were enemies of God. God loved us. And Levine concludes her chapter by saying this: can we finally agree that it is better to acknowledge the humanity and the potential to do good in the enemy rather than to choose death? Can we put into practice that inauguration promise of not leaving the wounded traveler on the road? The biblical text and concern for humanity's future tells us we must. So the question for us today is, who is your Samaritan? And can you see good in that person? Because that's what Jesus does for us. Amen.